Welcome to SB Pod. Stanford Steve is Daisy Fresh. How are you, big man?
Excellent. Yourself? Super weak.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah.
So strange being on this side of it. So many years you go, did you go before it was SVP and Marcello with other radio shows?
No. Hmm. I only went once, the week to Arizona we did.
We were not in a stairwell that week. We graduated to like a side stage, maybe the regular stage. It's just, all anyone does is complain about it in the business going out to these weeks. But being there, that's what the lead up felt like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So being this far removed, although, are you going?
I'm going Friday, Saturday.
There you go. I'm going. I'll be out there Friday night.
Get a little dinner out there?
You know, a little, yeah.
All right.
Are you my plus one?
If you want me to be.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you be?
Do I need to bring my card?
What card is that?
Credit card.
No, come on. You're on scholarship.
There we go.
If I eat, we all eat. But I'm just worried about you going back across country after what you just endured coming back from Vegas where you were for the All-Star game. Let's not start negative. Let's start positive.
Yeah.
Give me the lay of the land, the festivities, the boys.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the NHL All-Star game, the fellas, the people you met. Just what do you got for me on that?
It was my first time, Scott, being involved with an NHL event, and I was more fired up. I haven't been that fired up in a long time. It's just something different. I'm not familiar with it. I'm trying to learn as much as possible and getting to meet behind the scenes, meeting PR guys, coaches, players. But the dynamic of it all is just – it's crazy. I mean, first thing I get there Thursday, I go over to Daily Wager, and then they taped an event. And then Thursday night, you start looking around a casino, and there's people getting after it. And then there were some familiar faces that I was trying to, make sure I knew, in case they didn't have the jerseys on. I'm like, oh, I know who that is. I know who that is. And then the next day is the skills competition. They come in all buttoned up in suits, and I'm like, uh-oh, I don't think I know everybody that I'm supposed to. And then they come out and they do this thing where they had to take headshots, Scott. So they have their jerseys and helmet. They have the jerseys and shoulder pads on, but they all come out in like shorts. And I was just, I couldn't imagine like the build of these guys. And you're like, wow, okay. And then
what? Bigger or smaller than you thought?
Smaller. But okay.
Are you saying you could kick everyone's ass?
Not at all. Not at all. I don't mess.
I just was checking. Up.
Nope.
Because it sounded to me like you kind of just said you would fight the whole NHL.
I never said
that. All right. I want to make that clear. Go ahead.
So then they come back out, and now they're in full uniform, and they got the skates on. And it's like, holy Tom Wilson's a monster. Monster.
Yeah, you don't want those hands.
No. Couldn't be a better guy either.
Handsome Tom. Love him.
Yeah. But then, like, the Lightning goalie, Vasilevskiy, he's like 6'7". With skates on, he's, like, ducking underneath doors. It's crazy. And I'm like, how are you supposed to get a puck by this guy?
But you kind of don't. That's the problem.
And we asked – I was working with Emily Cabot, and we asked Austin Matthews what the pregame hydration process was like and how this differed than it's a regular season game. And he started laughing just – talking about admitted, not much stretching going on. Took a little bit more time to get yourself together. But all in all, the weekend, it's really cool to see those guys, how different they are off the ice. Like, it literally is like they have a switch.
Mm-hmm.
And couldn't be nicer. They don't say no to anything. PR people were great. That arena is real. Like, that place, T-Mobile, I mean, I can't imagine what it's like for a playoff game. Like, it's all that. I mean, you also had the Pro Bowl going on. So the NFL player, we were at Aria, so everybody's crossing over, and mm-hmm. you see people's reaction when they know who they really saw. I saw Kelsey walking down, and these two girls just lost it. And they're like, "That's him, that's him." So then, like, they yelled at him. He turned around, and he just smiled, and, like, they go crazy, pictures and that whole thing. But I'll tell you, I know we got restrictions are all over the place. They're not many in Vegas. We're back up and running, full go.
Of course there aren't. Of course there aren't. It's Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Figure it out. You want to hear about my Saturday?
Yeah.
Took the kids up skiing to Liberty. There's not a lot of snow on the mountain. There are a lot of people. And the kids got a lesson. I think they got up the mountain twice in the hour on the lift because of the crowd. And that was the extent of the lesson. And so,
like, when you go skiing, can you, like,
I didn't ski.
No,
I was there to cheer people on. I never saw anybody because there were 10,000 people on the mountain. I never figured out which two were my kids. They were the two that had two runs up the lift for the hour. Thanks a lot for the time, guys.
But I never been skiing before. Like, can you go sled riding at a ski resort?
Let me tell you about that. That's part two. Tubing. Oh. See, that was
now
the win.
We're talking.
Exactly. Now, when I was young, I used to ski all the time. Now
really?
We used to ski. We had a good friend. I still do. An artist who did really, really well out west, had a home out in Snowmass in Colorado. And so we would go out to Colorado to ski, which makes you super snobby about skiing in the East Coast, because out there it's all beautiful, giant Rocky Mountains with powder. And if you ski in the East, the mountains aren't big and it's pretty icy. So I would just suggest that if you learn to ski in the East Coast, you can ski anywhere because it's a hell of a lot harder than, like, when you're actually turning on snow. It's like, this is what it's like. But I'm deathly afraid to do it.
Yeah.
This particular weekend, mostly because there were 10,000 people on the mountain, and I'm just convinced I'd run into someone or someone had run into me. Yeah. I don't need that kind of aggravation in my life. But you get an inner tube on a mountain that by the time we got there was late in the day and it was essentially just a sheet of ice. Great fun. All the kids, like, you can, Charlie was the first one down naturally because he's the smallest.
Yeah.
And they ask you when they let go of the like tether that's pulling the tube, do you want us to spin you? Charlie said, sure. So there's my little guy spinning about 1,000 miles an hour, flying down the mountain on a tube. And they say, you got to drag your heels when you get to the bottom. You might fly off the friggin' mountain. And I'm thinking, he can't reach the ground. How's this going to end? But he's so light that he didn't go flying into sort of the retaining wall. But that was good fun. So the moral of the story is, this is not an anti-Liberty Mountain play. This is an anti-don't go on Saturday on a perfect day when the whole world's there. That's, you just got to pick your spots, right? Got to pick your spots, I think. But
so
that was...
All right, so let's. Whose decision was it to go that day, you or Wifey?
Well, I mean, Wifey's the organizer. Wifey's about making memories. I mean, an incredible planner, putting stuff together, getting stuff on the calendar. It's my job just to be a good sport and say, let's go. And I did.
Okay.
Might have been, I don't know what the Saturday slate was, college basketball. It seemed like it was pretty good on paper.
Phenomenal.
Well, I didn't see a second.
Okay.
That's okay. We were tubing. And, got some Lido on the way home. Pretty big Saturday. Meanwhile, my guy's playing Pie Gal and running around in Vegas. So that's comparative shopping here. And I'm saying I'd rather tag along with Steve's weekend and Scott at the old tubing hill.
Couple fantastic meals. Got to see your boy Levy.
Nice.
Greasy.
Where'd you eat?
Place called Lago and Bellagio.
Fantastic.
Veal piccata. Oh,
tremendous Italian. That is such a good Italian drink.
Oh,
so good.
Right out by the waterfall. It was a little breeze. Helped leave you with no sweating. I got a question.
Yep.
When you're in the car with the wife, does she ever drive?
She drove to the skiing.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I don't remember why that was. It was a first. But then I didn't even know I was playing chess, but I didn't bring my glasses. Bring my glasses so I have them. I didn't bring my glasses because why would I wear them sledding or being on a, skiing, even though I wasn't skiing.
Yeah.
So when it came time to leave, it's dark and I'm doing the squinty, kind of like a mole. I can't see. I mean, I can see. I just can't make out the signs so good. And she said, sit over there. I got it. So yeah, that was how that went. But mostly, I'm happy to drive. Doesn't bother me. Yeah. Did you go to SW Steakhouse?
I didn't. There was a couple people I knew going there Thursday night. And
that's in the Wind. Love the Wind. Love the SW Steakhouse in the Wind. Always get there if I can. So it was a good time for you. The hockey boys were great.
Excellent.
Let's talk about the journey home, Steve.
Okay. Where do you want to start?
Well, I mean, last week at the podcast ended with my moral of the story when it comes to Las Vegas, and that is get on the bleeping plane. When it's time to go,
yep,
you don't extend, get on the plane. Well, if you try to get on the plane and the flight is delayed / canceled, then what do you do? And that fell into Stanford Steve's lap on Sunday. So yep. how'd you play that one?
Well, being a veteran of doing that trip to Las Vegas, you don't take a 6 a.m. flight out of there. You don't do it. So you either have a red eye, and what's really convenient for the casinos is there's not a lot of afternoon flights, but I was able to find one. So I was scheduled to leave 2:00 in the afternoon. Perfect. Got to the airport early, had the Pro Bowl on, got a meal in, and
Wait. You watched the Pro Bowl?
It was on the TV at the bar.
What are we doing?
I have no idea. It was
okay. It
was pretty tragic. Yeah. Yeah. And delayed an hour and then another half hour. Then they come on and say, we need 2 flight attendants. I'm like, well, we could help ourselves if we need to on the plane. Like, the plane's right there. The pilot's here. Like, let's get this going. Then we get another 15 minutes, and then all of a sudden, canceled. So, it's 2:30 in the afternoon. We got a 10:30 flight now scheduled, connecting red eye, which is just awful.
Connecting red eyes is low on the list of options that are really desirable.
So, what do you do from 2 to 10:30? Remember the movie Casino, and they kept the guy in the hotel and got his money back?
Yeah, I mean, you go back and you ask. In my case, what would I do? I'd say I need a marker.
That's what we did.
There we go.
We got on the horn with my man Chris Andrews at the South Point. Thank you so much.
Free shout out to the South Point. Appreciate that. Thanks for looking out for my man. They were more than happy to take his action for the 7 hours that he was waiting to get on his plane. But what happened? What happened on that Pie Gow table?
They didn't get it. It was a lot of pushing and shoving back and forth, me and the dealer.
Uh-huh.
And I'm telling you, I hit a run at Pie Gow. I didn't lose a hand for about 15 hands. It was just tremendous.
Legendary.
Heater, whatever you want to say.
But hold the phone. In the midst of that, were we up against the clock where now have to... Okay, now see, this is the moment. This is the moment where that's what we're talking about. I'm red hot. I got a flight, but I've won 15 straight hands of Pie Gow. I'm going to keep... I mean, you can't abandon the heater.
No. And here's the other deal. Is now I'm trying to calculate everything in my head as... The Corona Lights are absolutely ice cold and taste tremendous. So now I gotta go cash out. I gotta go cash a winning ticket thanks to the Bucks and the over in the Pelicans Rockets game. And then I gotta go upstairs, get the bags, and then get back down. So I'm figured that's gonna take a good 25 minutes. South Point's a monster hotel. that's going to take a good 25 minutes, half hour. And then I'm like, all right, maybe I can do it in 15 minutes.
See, here we go. Vegas math is flawed on so many levels because you've been altered, maybe chemically, maybe alcohol, maybe both, whatever. Maybe it's just lack of sleep. Maybe it's a pie gal heater, whatever it is. There's a lack of clarity. The vision is really, really blurred.
So then I look up in the middle of it and I run into our friend, the Rear Admiral, the host of the Spittin' Chicklets podcast. He's got his bags with him. His dad's there. He's like, hey, are you going to the airport? You're on a red eye? I thought you were leaving today. I'm like, long story. Let's get a cab together. So perfect. That cuts another 10 minutes out because RA went and got the car while I went and did my stuff. Boom, out of there. TSA pre-check, sitting down.
Color in. Check color change. In.
Got it all.
That's few things are better than that kind of Vegas story. We've all got awful. There's chapters upon chapters where it's catastrophic. But what you're describing is the rarest of all. Win.
It was, oh.
And, well, win, then, yes. Okay, go ahead.
Then, fortunate to get a first-class seat. I sit down.
What were you looking at, Steve?
A rug, a wall that was a rug. And that was it. Right in front of me.
All right, hold on.
We're flying cross country for 5 hours.
Right. Hold on. It's a red eye.
Yeah.
Fold your big mitts on your chest. Close your eyes and take a nap.
I can't get comfortable in the bulkhead, whatever that thing is. When you're in row one, when you just have the wall in front of you. Mm-hmm. I can't. I got no room. It's worthless first class seat to me. There's no leg room. I need a little extension for the legs.
You kind of ball up a little bit. You just sort of roll to your side.
No, I don't like taking up, the girl next to me in the seat. Like, I don't want to bother her.
I didn't say lay in her lap. I'm just saying you just sort of lay into the, were you against the window or not?
No, I was in the aisle too. It was awful.
Did I ever tell the story when I fell asleep on a woman on the regional jet?
You said, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh. All right. So early days of Russillo, SVP and Russillo, I was doing Sports Center and I was doing pieces for College Game Day. Let me just tell you, youngsters out there, you want to get in this business and that you think, I want to do that. No, you don't. You don't want to do all that. And I was doing what I thought made sense. Just make yourself as valuable as you can in as many ways as you can. And want me to do SportsCenter and do radio and do game day pieces? I'm in. Well, what that required was maybe you'd come and do the radio piece. Maybe you'd do SportsCenter until midnight. Then the next morning, to get wherever we were going, speaking of connecting red eyes, you'd have to take a regional jet to probably fly to Atlanta and then a small plane to somewhere. I think this day, let's just say it was LSU, okay? Mm-hmm. So we're, for argument's sake, it's LSU. Doesn't make any difference. Other than I'm on a regional jet from Atlanta to Baton Rouge, from Baton Rouge to Atlanta, then back to Hartford, because you couldn't get from Hartford direct anywhere. And we're on one of those tiny little planes, and I am more than sleep deprived, and I get the whim whams, and I start leaning left. And I feel myself awoken as this woman is sort of shoving me back politely back to center. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. Well, I was sorry, but I also wasn't awake. And this time I fall full asleep. And I'm talking about the weight of a 6'6", 225-pound man falling into this woman's seat on her shoulder, and she is now rightfully, justifiably enraged and is full two hands shoving me back. And this time I do wake up and I'm horrified. And I'm like, ma'am, I'm sorry. She said, no, it's okay. I said, no. It is so not okay. It's a long story. I work late and then I'm more, but she said, none of this matters, but I'm so sorry. And then I leaned as hard into the aisle as I could so that if I fell asleep this time, I was just going to fall into the row,
yep,
like into the aisle, but not on that woman. But it was, Yeah, I get not being really comfortable on planes, and I get not wanting to do that because I certainly didn't want to do that. Mm. Can I just make a suggestion to the airlines around the country? And this isn't really an observation; it is new because anybody that travels has had, we've dealt with this on some level. But when whatever it was that was going on your plane, they knew.
Yes.
They knew. They know. And here's the other thing: you know, like, you're a seasoned traveler. You just look around, you go up. We're not, this plane's not taking off. And here's the thing. I'm an adult. There's nothing that you can tell me that is going to ruin my life. But if you just lie to me for 3 hours and waste my time in McCarran Airport, that is an affront to my sensibilities. So just, let's just have a grown up to grown up conversation where you say, listen, you're screwed. Plane's not going to take off. What reason? Doesn't matter. You're not going to tell me anyway. I don't care. Like, but if this plane's not taking off, just tell me, because that way I can get back to see this guy at the South Point, mm-hmm. go play some Pai Gal, and go about it correctly. I think that when you're lied to for hours on end in an airport, that's as frustrating as anything that happens. And that's what they do. It's like in a handbook.
Yeah.
I think just tell a lie to them. Lie. We need to do better than that.
You know what I'm good? I realized getting in Ubers and stuff, I'm a good liar.
About what?
So like, oh, what are you here for? Work, business? Nope. I don't want to talk to you. Mm. Sorry.
So nope. I told you about that. I would just tell people I was a beekeeper. That was the other thing I used to do when I was on those regional jets. People ask what you do. I just make up a lot. Yeah. I'm a regional manager for a lumber company. Just anything. You can say anything. It's great fun. Because there's this weird dynamic when you're flying where you're sitting next to some guy and you haven't acknowledged each other's presence for the entire time. And then in that last 5 minutes, it's this best friend thing.
Yeah.
Oh, where are you heading? Oh, heading back home, huh? Oh, it's tough being away. Yep. What do you do? Regional sales manager, lumber. We're in for a comp. Got a big lumber conference all over North America. Biggest producers in North America coming in for this one. And we're going to, Foxworthy's going to do a concert. And Tina Turner, going to be unbelievable. Really? Yeah, no. I mean, you could go, once you get going, once you tell one lie, it's just the whole thing. Just keep going. I would do that for now. I'm too famous.
Yeah, you know.
I'm kidding. Masks. Who knows who anybody is?
Oh,
that was my go-to. Just make up stories about sales conferences. Before we move on, two things I'd like to mention. Check out First Draft with Mel Kiper Jr., Todd McShay, and Field Yates every Monday and Thursday. These guys are keeping tabs on the NFL draft. You can listen to First Draft wherever you get your podcasts, or watch the show on YouTube. And watch NBA Today, 3 Eastern, noon Pacific on ESPN and the ESPN app, or listen to the show as a podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Is there any sports to talk about this week?
Is the Super Bowl going to be a game in that one score game in the fourth quarter?
I think it is. I think Cincinnati, the thing I wonder is what's the value of having been through it for the Rams? Mm-hmm. And cast of characters significantly different, but it's, I just think from McVay's, from McVay's viewpoint, how he sets the tone for the whole group. Look, I was through this once. We played against a guy who's been here 100 times and a quarterback who's been here 100 times. And it's just, the moment was pretty big and maybe it got the better of him. I mean, look, it was a one score game. It wasn't like they got their butt kicked, but you know, now they know, he knows what it feels like. He can help them understand what it feels like. And you're going up against a coach who had won 6 games before this year started and a quarterback who's in his second year. And we all know Burrow's not afraid and there's no backup in him, but you have an advantage and kind of your group's got way more familiarity with it than this in this game rather than they do. You're at home, you're sleeping in your own bed, all those cliches. I just, it's set up for the Rams to win in a way where if they won comfortably at the end, you'd go, well, sure, right? All signs point to that. And yet I think Cincinnati probably just shrugs and says, well, fine, you go with that. You go with that strategy and we'll turn up Sunday at 3 local and take our chances. I think they'll compete. I don't think there's any reason why they won't. I don't think there's any overwhelming Rams front Bengals O-line. I get it. But I don't think that they're going to just feast, because even when Tennessee did feast, Cincinnati still scored enough to win the game.
Yeah.
Didn't they? Because they got a defense too.
See, to me, the game is on the Rams offensive line. That's where I think the pressure. I mean, Whitworth didn't look good against the Niners. We know what the Bengals could do with Hubbard and Hendrickson on the edge. That's the matchup I'm looking at, because
there you go.
And that's where I figure, you know, McVay's going to have every option available. And it's, to me, I was thinking about this on my 10-hour crusade through the night last night. I feel exactly how I felt going into the Niners Chiefs Super Bowl. I'm going to be rooting my ass off for the Bengals, but I think the Rams are going to win.
Like you were rooting for the Niners against Kansas City.
Yeah, that was a rough one.
It was, because San Francisco felt like the correct side. I've rarely felt a game that big that changed that drastically based off one play. I mean, and you know, Niner fans, the faithful, shout to the faithful. You're a split second away from the rush getting home on a 3rd and long. Yep. And instead, you know, Tyreek Hill, you hit him and that lights the fuse. And all of a sudden, bang, that Kansas City offense was going. San Francisco couldn't get first downs. And then, not only did you not lose, but you didn't cover, which was hurtful.
Speaking of Tyreek Hill, did you see his interview with Laura Rutledge?
I did not.
You did not. So what? He was in the suite for the NHL All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
And he did the Stone Cold. He smashed 2 beers and like acted like he drank them.
Oh, did he just pour them?
He didn't get anything in his mouth.
But you don't have to if you're doing the Stone Cold. Don't have to. That's fine. It's a theatrics. Just smash. You got to just the can but smash.
Did you see what Tyreek Hill did? I was like, yeah. He attempted to drink beer and he didn't get any in his mouth.
That's okay. It's just theatrics, dude. It's just acting. Suspension of disbelief. You just go, you're along for the ride.
Got a chance to meet Hunter Renfro.
Okay.
What a guy.
Good egg?
A guy. I know one of his coaches for the Raiders. And so I introduced myself and this and that. And he lights up, obviously. And we were in the suite and Emily Kaplan was doing an interview with Derek Carr and Waller was in there and Renfro. And I can't believe that man caught 100 balls in the NFL.
Not a big dude. He's not a big dude.
So good. Such a but good
all,
guy.
But hold, so if what you're at least around Waller, I don't know if you guys commiserated. I know you and Kelsey, your paths crossed repeatedly.
Yep.
Any just tight end talk, just sort of brotherhood, fraternity.
No, Waller's had a group that he was talking to, so I didn't.
Gotcha.
I'm not a big.
Right.
Bother
right. Well, what are you no. right? What are you going to do? You're not going to go wedge yourself into their good time and
hey. I played tight end once.
Yep. Let's. You want to talk about a little seam? How about Sluggo? Huh? Man, when they get chipped off the edge, I don't even know if I'm doing it right. I'm just trying to participate. So next time I'm on a regional jet, I'll tell them people I was a tight end in the CFL. I was with Saskatchewan for a little while. I hurt my knee, tore the patella tendon up there in, against the Eskimos. That was it was Edmonton. Icy field. It was a bad deal. Tore the patella. See? I'm bang right there. I'm in it. That's how scary it is. It's been a long time since I've tried to play the last 5 minutes of a flight make up a job game. It's fun. I want all of you all out there to do it. It's a fun way to kill time when you're landing. Just make up entire alternate realities. Maybe they're more fun than your life, or maybe they seem boring and mundane. Just see how good. It's so much harder to do than Wordle. You got to make up entire and keep the thing going. So if you're asked questions about it, that you're prepared to answer. It's just something to think about. Maybe you have in front of you is carpeting on the wall. You don't have the entertainment thing. So how do you entertain yourself? Well, you could have your face in your phone the whole way, or you know, you could be in for a conference of all the top regional lumber yard managers, you know, for
talking
moving
wood there.
That's what I'm saying. We move sheets of plywood like nobody. Nobody.
We build all right. pallets.
There you go. You don't build pallets. The stuff you use to build is on the pallet, Steve. Everyone knows that. But that's, again, I would know this given my years in the industry. Okay.
How many? All right, last one.
Yeah, well, I got to go talk to Schefter.
Yeah. How many points does a winning team score in the Super Bowl?
Low.
24?
I was going to say 23-17, 23-20, something like that. Low. What's the total?
48 and a half.
Under.
Yeah, I like the under.
Under. It's always under. always under. In these games. So that's what I got for you.
All right.
Everybody have a great week, and we'll catch up with you all soon.